There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy. And today we get a chance to talk to Paul Fortune. You guys, he is just an amazing, amazing motivation coach. He's a speaker and he does all the things that we need to be able to basically rewrite our story. Does that sound at least the tip of the iceberg, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely the tip of the iceberg.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more about what's underneath that surface? Tell us a little bit more about who you are and how you serve people today.
All right. Well, there's two things that I do. You mentioned I do speaking and I also do coaching. So the speaking space is I talk to businesses and organizations to help improve the work culture. Mm. And I call it living for Mondays. Some of our employees are only living Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they're bulldozing Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And then months and years go by and they look at their life and go, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Well, the time went fast because you're only living 3 days a week. So right. It's important that we live for Mondays. You know, a lot of us have those blues Sunday evenings, Sunday afternoon, where we stop enjoying our day with our friends and family, and we start to think about all the stresses that we have to do Monday morning.
Right.
We need to change that. We need to be excited for that. And so we go into that with workshops and talks that I do. And then on top of that, you mentioned rewrite your story. I also help individuals help take back their pen and write the story they want for themselves, not for anybody else. Kind of the same concept. Let's get out of autopilot and let's live every single day.
Right. If you don't live by intention for your own life and your own dreams and your own passions, you're basically living it for someone else. And that's kind of what you probably are found with people and employees that are living for Friday, is that they're basically living somebody else's life for 4 days. And you're trying to get them to really able to really embrace like each and every day and be able to live their life to their fullest, no matter what their environment is. I love that so much. And so tell us a little bit about how you began this journey. Like, what made you decide to be so passionate, because clearly you are, about this topic?
I was born with something called cerebral palsy. And if your viewers don't know what that is, it's lack of oxygen to the brain at labor. And as a result of this lack of oxygen at the brain at labor, it can leave one side of the body paralyzed. It can affect your speech. And these things are permanent. These don't go away. So when I was born, I wasn't moving the right side of my body very much. And naturally, my mother was very concerned about that. So she took me to the doctors to get testing done. And that's when I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And this first doctor thought it was so severe that he thought I would never, ever be able to walk. And when I got to a certain age, it would be a good idea to get me into a wheelchair, because that was going to be my life going forward. And I've had numerous conversations with my mom about that and about that moment. And naturally, she was devastated hearing that news that her baby boy was not going to be able to walk. Cried herself to sleep that night, wondering what the life was going to be for her baby boy. But she told me the next morning, she woke up and she got me ready, get me ready for the day. And I gave her a look, if to say, Mom, don't let this be my story. And that mama bear inside of her started raging. So she got a second opinion, a third opinion, a fourth opinion. She wasn't going to stop. And a fifth opinion. She finally found a physician willing to help. And with this physician's help and me doing physical therapy 5 to 6 times a week and my mom's unrelentless attitude to make sure I walked, I was walking between age 2 and 3, which was obviously a huge feat because 4 of the doctors said that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Don't really remember that, but I remember being put into soccer roughly when I was about 5 years old. And at the time, I probably could run 25 to 50 yards before my leg would give out and I could do no more. So basically, when I was on the soccer field, I'm standing there where kids are playing soccer around me. And one day after practice, I was just fed up. Kids were teasing me. I wasn't having fun. I was going to go to my mom and tell my mom, I don't want to play soccer anymore. Yeah. And I remember what my mom told me, because it's held true with me in my personal life and my business life to this day. She said, "Paul, if you don't want to play soccer more, that is fine. But you need to honor your commitments. Mm-hmm. So you need to finish out that soccer season. If you don't want to play soccer after that, that is your prerogative." And I'm 42 years old and I've played soccer since that season. But I finished that season out.
Yeah.
And that is held true with my word, my commitment. When I commit to something, whether that be my personal life, whether it be my business, I commit to that activity.
Yeah.
And after that activity is complete, then I evaluate it if I want to do it again or not. But I always honor those commitments, and that has served me well in both my business and my personal life. But things did get easier for me after that soccer season. I got surgery on my right foot to give me a little bit more spring in my step, mm-hmm. and kind of take away the pain I was feeling when I ran. And this surgery was a game changer for me. I didn't know how big it was, but I switched schools around that time after my surgery. And I remember my first day of PE, physical education. We did our stretches, and the teacher says, "Okay, guys, run a lap." And I'm thinking to myself, here we go again. I'm going to run 25 to 50 yards. I'm going to have to stop. These kids are going to see that, and they're going to start to tease me again.
Right. But
because of the surgery, it was different. I was able to go past that point where I normally have to stop. And I remember saying to myself, "Come on, Paul. You got this, buddy. Keep going. Keep going." And I finished the lap with the other kids on the outside. I kept it cool. But then I was like, yes, yes, yes. The first time in my young life where I just fit in. I didn't stand out. And after that surgery, things did get a lot easier for me, but I wouldn't consider me easy. My parents got divorced when I was about 12 or 13 years old. So I had to switch schools. And that's a tough age to switch schools, regardless of any situation.
Right, right. Right?
Kids are going through hormonal changes. They're becoming teenagers. And a lot of them have been going to school with each other for years and years. So they've already formed their cliques. So they don't have time for anybody new. So just being a new kid alone, that's tough.
Right.
But I'm a new kid who walks with a limp and holds his right arm a little bit differently. So I could not break into this school. I couldn't make any friends. I was bullied, teased, spit on, you name it. They did it to me.
Yeah.
And I came from this old school mentality where you didn't squeal, you didn't say anything. So
yeah.
I bottled all this up, so I didn't tell anybody about this, but I was feeling all this pain inside of me. And while this was going on, I was raised Catholic, so my mom wanted me to go to a Catholic high school. So I had to take an assessment test to see where they were going to place me when I got to high school. Mm-hmm. Well, I must have bombed it, because when I met with the principal, I met with my mom, the principal tells the both of us that she's going to put me at the lowest level possible, and she doesn't expect much from me. I don't seem like I'm going to be college material. After one test, this principal says this to us. So now I think I'm stupid. I'm getting bullied and teased in this other mm-hmm. school. I think I'm dumb.
Yeah.
I go back to school. I'm just not fitting in. I'm crying myself to sleep most nights going, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why can't I just be like everybody else? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what came over me, but the start of my eighth grade, the year before high school, I was sick and tired of feeling angry and sad all the time. I knew deep down those weren't my go-to emotions, but because of the environment I was in, those were the emotions that were coming up most of the time.
Right.
So I thought to myself, what could I do to distract me from those feelings? And I thought, what if I set a goal for myself, focus in on the goal, and that will allow me to kind of ignore that outside noise? And I thought, well, what could my goal be? And at the time, I really loved baseball. So I thought, what if I try to make my varsity baseball team in high school? So I started playing fall ball, winter ball, spring ball. And if I wasn't doing that, I was throwing a tennis ball against the wall. And while I was going through this journey, a coach came up to me and said, "Paul, you play a lot of baseball. Do you have any goals with that?" And I didn't want to tell him at first that I wanted to make my varsity baseball team, because I didn't want him to laugh at me. Somebody with cerebral palsy making a varsity baseball team? You know, I thought that was near impossible. So I just kind of said, "No, I just like playing. I'm just enjoying myself." But he was persistent. He kept asking me that question. And one day he caught me at a weak moment, and I blurted out that I wanted to make my varsity baseball team in high school. And I was bracing myself for him to laugh at me, to tell me that wasn't going to happen. But he didn't. He paused for a second, thought about it, and he said, "That's doable." And I'm like, "What? That's doable?" He goes, "Yeah, it's absolutely doable. But you got to have other people keep you accountable for the school." And I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, you got, after practice tomorrow, you're going to tell the team that's your goal. And I'm like, no. I don't want to tell the team that. They just started accepting me. If I tell them that, they're going to start making fun of me. And he's like, Paul, if you want to make this goal happen, other people need to keep you accountable, because there's going to be times in this journey that you're going to be low and you're going to need the support of your team to pull you up. So other people need to keep you accountable. So you have to do this if you want to make this goal. So I said, okay. So after practice the next day, I was shaking. And I told the team that I wanted to make that goal. Again, I was bracing myself for them to laugh at me.
Yeah.
But they didn't either. They started clapping for me.
Wow.
And I know this now. I didn't know this when I was going through this. But I started to send a different energy out towards these kids. Mm-hmm. I started to carry myself with more confidence. And as a result of this new confidence I was sending out to these kids, kids started sending me a different energy. Instead of bullying and teasing me, they started rooting for me. So my high school career was much, much different than my middle school career, all because of how I carried myself.
Right.
And that alone was the win. But the cherry on top of the whole thing was I was able to make my varsity baseball team as a junior and a senior. In my senior year, I pitched a 3-hit shutout. They poured the Gatorade on me. I felt so alive. I felt so good about myself.
Amazing.
I graduate high school. And I really start to reflect on that goal that I set for myself back in middle school about making my varsity baseball team. Like I told you before, I thought it was just a way to ignore the noise. I really didn't think I was going to complete the goal, but I was right. able to do that. So I started to really think about what that principal said to me years earlier about not being college material. Mm-hmm. See, all through high school, I pretty much mailed it in. I just did enough to stay eligible to play baseball because in the back of my head, I thought to myself, well, I'm not really college material. Right. Why waste time? Just do enough to get by and move on with yourself. And that's kind of my mentality through high school. I didn't take it very seriously as far as my academics were concerned.
Right.
So my grades weren't that great. But I thought, wow, if I could make this goal happen, why can't I set another goal for myself to say that I am college material?
Yeah.
So I enrolled into a junior college because that was the only place that would accept me at the time. I got myself a math tutor. I got myself a tutor for other subjects. I went to the math lab. I did this probably about five days a week. And with all this hard work, I took my barely a 2.0 all the way to 3.5, where I was able to transfer to four-year university, graduate, and become college material. And I so wanted to go back to that principal and say, see, you were wrong. I was college material.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, you know what? I should probably thank this principal, because all through college, I heard her voice saying that it wasn't college material. And my next thought was, I will show you that I am college material.
Yeah.
So I just let it go. I forgive. Now I'm 22, 23 years old. I have no life experience. I have no idea what the heck I want to do with my life. I had a family friend who was the CEO of a small bank, and he comes to me and goes, Paul, do you ever think about becoming a mortgage loan officer? I can hire you. We're looking for people. And I'm like, why not? I'm not doing anything. Let's go. And yeah. I felt so good. It was my first time having an adult job, because I had to wear a nice shirt
and
clothes to work. Yeah. Because, I mean, I had many other jobs, but fast food and golf courses and all this other stuff. But this was my first real adult job. So I was really excited to go to work here. When I got into this job, no one wanted to talk to me. I would sit alone in lunch. They barely would say two words to me. And I was thinking to myself, I haven't felt this way since middle school. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And I quickly realized what the issue was. Everybody knew that I was hired by the CEO of the company, so it wasn't because of my talents, it was because of who I knew. So in their eyes, I didn't belong there, so they were going to chew me up and spit me out. And I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to prove these people wrong. So I dug in. I had a positive attitude. I didn't complain about the workload. And from afar, I was observing what top loan officers did in the company because they didn't want to talk to me.
Right.
And while I'm going through this, my first day of wanting to go out in the field and get loans for the first time, I got my rate sheets ready and was going to go out. My family friend CEO stops me and goes, what are you doing, Paul? I'm like, I'm ready. I'm going to go out and get loans. I'm ready to go out and sell. He's like, no. You are not ready. Let's get you some more training and then we'll send you out in a few weeks. I'm like, no. I got this. Let me go. And he's like, okay, go. And he was absolutely right. I needed way more training. I was falling on my face left and right. These clients were abusing me. But slowly but surely, weeks and months would go by, and I started to realize what value I could add to these clients. And I started bringing in loans and more loans and more loans. And 2 years later in this company, I became a top producer. And the people that didn't want to talk to me when I first got there are now coming to me with questions on how I was able to turn things around at such a fast clip.
Yeah.
And this was another lesson that I learned that I've carried with my business and in my personal life too is, you can't judge somebody by somebody else's opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody was doing at that job.
Right.
They were going by somebody else's opinion. They were not giving me the benefit of the doubt. And I said to myself, at that point on, I'm going to give the people the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to let their words and their actions prove how I treat them, as opposed to what other people mm-hmm. say about them. And that could be close friends and whatnot, but I'm steadfast on that because there was times when I first got there where I wanted to quit. I didn't want to be there anymore because of the abuse I was getting or the lack of communication I was getting because I didn't want to be there. And I made millions and millions of dollars for this company because of the sales I did. And this company would have lost out on millions and millions of sales all because of the work culture.
Right.
So that is a big lesson that I learned early on in my career that was not going to be the case for me going forward on how I treated people. So I really thought this career was going to be my jam for my life because I really, really, really loved it.
Yeah.
Then 2008, 2009 hit and the economy tanked it. Mm-hmm. That whole company, that whole bank went belly up. It was no more.
Yeah.
And I had to get another job in the mortgage industry and that company went belly up. This happened 3 or 4 times. So I started to really lose the luster of doing this work.
Right.
And one of the last places I was at, and while I was going through this, I worked for pretty good companies and I worked for poor companies, right? I worked for companies where I was enjoying it, where I wanted to come to work on Mondays. And there was other companies I was at where I was like, man, Monday is horrible. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to think about my job. I don't want anything to do. So I had all kinds of stuff going on through this career. One of the last places I was at, they brought in this motivational speaker to motivate us to get the sales numbers up. And the guy blew me away. The guy's presentation was tremendous. So I made a point to go talk to him after to tell him how great of a presentation it was. He was very, very gracious. He allowed me to pick his brain a little bit. He told me he started as a life coach. I'm like, life coach? What the heck is that? He explained that to me. I'm like, maybe that's what I want to get into. So while I was doing the mortgage stuff, I started getting my coaching certificate. I started telling people that's what I wanted to do. And people are humoring me and going, okay, life coach, whatever. Go ahead and save the world. But while you're saving the world, can you bring in a couple loans, will you? So they weren't really taking me seriously. But I started getting my website up. I started posting stuff on my social media. And the legal team that of the company I was at comes to me and says, what is this that you're doing here? And I was very transparent. I said I was going to do the mortgage stuff as my full-time job, and I was going to have a side gig of coaching.
Yeah.
And they said, that could be a conflict of interest. Well, we're going to have to get back to you. And I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
It came back to me with this 5-page report of what I couldn't say. And I looked at this report, and I'm like, man, there's no way I'm going to make any traction in the coaching world if I follow this to the T.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to have to make some changes. So for a year, I just did mortgage. I didn't do any coaching. Paid off all my debts. I got everything situated. And a year later, I made President's Club and I quit. And people are like, you're crazy. You just made President's Club and you're quitting? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, this coaching thing is pie in the sky nonsense. Don't quit. Keep doing what you're doing. I go, I gotta go with this. And they're like, okay, you'll be back. And for a while, I thought they were going to be right, that I was going to have to go back into the mortgage industry because there was a couple years of just struggling.
Yeah.
Of just making ends meet because I wasn't getting any clients. And I did some soul searching. I'm like, why is this the case? Why can't I get any clients?
Yeah.
And I really started to think about it. And the true reason why that was going on in my head was, how do I expect people to be vulnerable with me if I'm not vulnerable with them? See, the story I told you of having cerebral palsy, I wanted to bury that story. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell a soul about that story because all through growing up, all I wanted to do was fit in. I didn't want any special treatment. I just wanted to be treated like everybody else. So the thought of me bringing up cerebral palsy, I would be almost in tears, emotional talking about it. I've always made excuses about it. If I was limping, I'd say, oh, softball injury or anything like that. I just didn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. But I thought, if I really want to make this a go, I really got to own my own story. So I started telling my story wherever I could, podcasts, different places.
Yeah.
And it was shaky at first. You know, I really had a lot of emotion around, behind it. But I kept telling it over and over again, and it basically allowed me to take the emotion out of it and get used to telling that story. And I'll never forget my first client ever comes to me and goes, Paul, I don't have cerebral palsy, but I have X, Y, and Z. And I would be honored if I could hire you as a coach because I feel like you understand me. Mm. And we've just been building there with coaching clients. And then, you know, and then the speaking gigs have started to come, and that's been great. And,
yeah.
And that brings us here today.
Oh my gosh. Paul, your story, you know, Paul, you and I have met a few times before this day. And every single time that, you know, you've shared bits and pieces of your story, I get goosebumps because I feel like it is such a brilliant example of being unstuck, right? And I also love the fact that you acknowledge that even somebody like you, who is very, very resilient, you have a lot of perseverance and grit, you too have had periods in your life throughout that journey of ups and downs and feeling stuck, but then you've always made the decision to rise above it and get the life that you desire. And that's what the Unstuck podcast is all about. It's truly just deciding that we are no longer want to be a victim to our circumstances, right? We're going to get very, very clear. We're going to make the decision and we're going to find the solutions that are going to get us to where we want to be. And all along, we have to have the attitude to be able to become the person we're supposed to be. And all of that is on that journey of becoming who you are. If it wasn't for all of those tiny little pieces along your journey, you wouldn't be the person you are today. And I just love that you've been able to see the beautiful lessons and the wonderful ways that those things have brought you to where you are. So just thank you for that. I just love your story.
Well, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
And okay, so you guys, I know that you probably are dying to know a little bit more about maybe some tips or tricks that Paul might have to help you where you are right now. So there's so many nuggets in his story, and that's what I love about a good speaker. You guys uses stories and weaves lessons into their story, and that's what Paul did for us today, which is amazing. So really, Paul, I just want to see if there's any kind of things that you would love people to possibly even start to consider today. If they're like, okay, Michelle, Paul, I am tired of feeling stuck. I feel like this is not the life that I want to live. I know that there's better for me. There's more for me, but I don't even know where to start. What would you tell that person?
I just first say, give yourself grace. Yeah. That every single person in this world feels that way from time to time. I feel that way all the time. But the thing that gets me out of it, or using your word, getting unstuck, is gratitude. So here's a practice that I do and a practice I share with my clients is this. When you wake up in the morning, before you start your morning routine, getting ready for work, getting the kids ready for school, whatever you do, whatever your routine is, take a few minutes to think about what is going well in your life right this moment. And if you can, write it down or put it in your phone. Mm-hmm. Because what that will do, it will start to prime your brain to start to seek out positive things. Like it could be something on your phone saying free coffee. Up, the day keeps getting better and better and better because you're telling your mind that's what you want to look for, right?
Yes.
Your mind goes for what you're looking for because you can have the opposite, right? You could wake up on the wrong side of the bed there and you could be driving to work and you could get a flat tire and you could say to yourself, this would happen to me. I would get a flat tire. And I would say to that individual, yeah, that does happen to you because your mind's looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you buy a new car and you buy that car and all of a sudden you see that same car all over the road? You didn't see it before you bought that car, but
right.
You see it now. It's the same thing with a positive and negative mindset. Your mind goes to what you're seeking. And if you're seeking positivity, your mind's going to look for it. If you're seeking negativity, your mind's going to look for it.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. We see what we look for 100%. And so when I have been, you know, stuck in my job or my career, I could see all of the terrible things that are making me frustrated. But the moment that I made that decision to start looking for all of the things that I am grateful for, that I'm happy for, that I'm blessed with, everything started to shift. And what people don't always realize is that our outside world has to match our inside world. Our inside world is a filter within our conscious and subconscious mind, and we literally make the outside world match our inside world. So if I'm only looking for negative things, you guys, I'm going to create that situation in my outside world. But if I'm looking for positive things, those things are going to start showing up everywhere. And it is amazing because it will change your life. And don't you think, Paul, that when you are in a positive state of mind too, that you're more willing and able to come up with solutions? Because I think that it opens up our creative mind as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I work with clients, the first thing that we talk about is that foundation, that self-esteem, how we feel about ourselves. I think that is huge. Because what you're talking about is when you go for goals, every single one of us is going to hit challenges. Yeah. If you're not hitting challenges, your goal's just not big enough. Because everything you do, there's going to be a challenge.
Right.
And you could hit challenges, and if you have a good self-awareness in yourself, good self-esteem, and you hit a challenge, you're going to say, oh man, this is really, really, really tough. Let me take a second to really evaluate what this challenge is, and let me figure out a way to get over this challenge.
Right.
But if you don't have good self-esteem in yourself and you hit a challenge and you're starting a goal, you'll start to come up with excuses on why you shouldn't do the goal anymore. So it's very, very important that, number one, that you feel good about yourself. And number two is you really believe in the goal. You really, really believe heart and soul this is a goal that you want to do. Because if it's not, it's very, very hard to accomplish those types of goals.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the definiteness of purpose. I'm kind of a nerd and I like to read, and Napoleon Hill talks about that in Think and Grow Rich. Like, you have to have the definiteness of purpose. And so if you don't love what it is that you're going after, it's going to be lackluster. Like, you're going to lose interest as soon as that you hit that first obstacle. And I also love how you mentioned the importance of confidence, self-esteem, or belief in yourself, because I truly believe that when we have a goal that we don't believe it's possible for ourselves, it's really hard for us to make the steps consistently to make that happen. And for you, it sounds like it was your coach who said, yeah, that's actually a possibility, that probably, you know, flip the switch for you and made you even try even harder because now you believe that it was possible for you. So what would you say to someone who's really struggling right now with the confidence factor? Like, they just don't believe that they have anything to offer, because you had so many people that gave you this false presence of and title of who they thought you were, and you wore that because that's, you know, what we do, right? So what would you tell somebody who's really struggling with the confidence part? How could they help with that?
Well, first off, there's two things that they need to do. One is, we talked about grace. And the second is, give yourself self-love. So many of us don't want to do that. We think that's being selfish.
Yeah.
But that is the only way that you're going to be able to show up for other people, is if you give yourself self-love. Mothers have the hardest time with that, because they want to put their children first. And I get that. But how can the mother be 100% if the mother's not right? You know, if mentally they're not there, physically they're not there, they can't show up 100% for their children if they do it the opposite way.
Right.
So it's very, very important that they put on their action mat. We put on our action mask first before we help anybody else. And I think that is the first steps in that, is giving ourselves grace that it's okay that we do not feel okay. Yeah. You got to be okay with that, because what happens is, we start beating ourselves up about that.
You know, right.
We're stuck and we beat ourselves up that we don't feel good. And we just start spiraling.
Yep.
And I feel like if there's a day where you just want to be on the couch all day, don't beat yourself up about it. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow's another day and we can try something else the next day. But don't beat yourself up. I think that is the first thing about it is, I think that we put ourselves down in our head so much. That's why we don't want to accomplish anything. That's why we don't want to go after it.
Right.
Everybody has worth. Every single person does. We just got to find out what that is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. And you're right. Like, we can completely label ourselves, right? Like, not only do we take on the labels of other people, like you're not college material, but now we've labeled ourselves. And then we, again, are make sure that our outside world matches our inside world. So we look for validation of why we're not college material, or why I'm not good at this, or why I shouldn't have this. And now it's just this self-deprecating, you know, cycle of downward spiral of validating why we don't have the worth that we have. And so instead, if we can look for ways to prove the opposite and spiral upwards, looking for all the reasons that we are amazing, looking for all the reasons that we do have contribution to the world, that we can accomplish the goals that we have. And like you said, taking your advice, start to look for evidence that support that. And all of a sudden, we're going to start to see that as proof that we can make it happen. And gosh, I feel like I could talk to you like literally all day long. You have such an amazing heart and vulnerability around what you do, but I can tell that you care so much about people and wanting them to live out their best life, because you had all of these excuses that you that your mom could have succumbed to, or that you could have succumbed to, and you chose not to. And you guys, if anything, I want you guys to just recognize in Paul's message that our superpower, you guys, is choice. Our superpower is choice. Every day we get to choose again. You can have a crappy day and give yourself permission. I just make the decision that I'm going to let myself rest today. And then tomorrow I get to choose again. When somebody says something about me, I get to choose how I perceive that. I get to choose whether I'm going to believe it or not. I get to choose my actions. I get to choose my attitude. And every single day when you can choose again, the law of polarity says that two things have to exist at once, negative and positive. Why wouldn't you just choose the positive? And so I think that you've been an amazing example of being able to use our superpower of choice and to choose to get up, choose to go after it, choose to do everything that you're doing. And now you're living out your purpose, which is helping other people do the same. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So if you have any other words of wisdom that we haven't had a chance to touch on, I would love to hear those now.
Yeah, I think that one thing I want to say, I kind of said it, but I want to say it again there, is every single person in this world has a unique talent. And it's up to us as the individual to find out what that talent is.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to share it with the world to see. I think it's extremely important. And the thing I also want to talk about is this. Your goals in your 20s are going to be different than they are in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. You constantly have to reinvent yourself. And the stuff that's going to motivate you in your 20s will be different than your 30s. And you got to be okay with that. And it's fine that those motivational factors are different. You have different life experiences.
Yeah.
Different things happen for you. Embrace it. It's all good. You can change it up. If you're a doctor and you get to the highest level being a doctor, and all of a sudden you don't want to be a doctor anymore, you want to do something else, you can do it. You can do it. I know that there's going to be people that are going to look at you and go, well, you're crazy. What in the heck are you doing? But you know what? We only have one life to live. So we might as well live it the way we want to live it.
100%. Oh my gosh. And you know, Paul and I had a chance to talk before we recorded, and I shared with him some news that I haven't shared publicly yet. And you know, you're speaking to me right now. So I appreciate that so much. One more thing though, before we wrap up, I want to touch on this because there are going to be people who are listening, Paul, and they're like, I don't know what my strengths are. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what makes me special. What would you tell that person? Is there any tips that you have to discover that?
I do. This is the easiest thing you can do, because a lot that I get that question probably every single time I talk to somebody is that question there that I got. That. What I tell them to do is every single I have them put a pen and paper by them all the time, and I want them to write out stuff that they enjoy doing. Just write it down. Don't judge it. Just write it down. Uh-huh. And don't even look at it. Just keep writing.
Yeah.
And do this for a couple weeks.
Okay.
Just write whatever you enjoy. Don't judge it. Keep going.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, go over that list and put a check mark on the things that really light you up, really, really like to do. And try it out, because that might be your next passion.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. And it's so simple. Thank you so much. You guys, if you haven't already, make sure that you hit subscribe, that you leave a review for Paul so that he gets to hear how much you appreciate everything that he had to say. If you haven't already, make sure that you take a quick screenshot of this and put it on your stories, put it on your social media. Let people know that you're listening to this so that we can get the word out about Paul and everything that he's doing, because he is on fire. You guys are going to find all of the ways to connect with him inside the show notes, so that if you want to work with him, you want to follow him, you want to catch his journey, you will have all the opportunity to do that. And Paul, one of the things that we do every single time we close out the Unstuck podcast is I ask my guests to give the audience a question to ponder that's going to help them move from where they are to where they want to be. So what question would you ask them to think about between now and the next time we get together on the podcast?
What fires up your belly?
I love that. Guys, make sure that you're allowing what comes easy to you, what you're good at, what lights you up, that's your path. That's the light on the end of your shoes that's going to teach you what direction to go. So follow that. What lights you up? Think about that and go after the life that you are meant to live. I hope you guys all enjoyed the episode as much as I did. And I will see you all next time. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Unstuck podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.